cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Cliff Central, and we've got our weekly Wedding Central show with myself, Kylie de Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Nhlapho.
And we've got the fabulous Kristen Masters in studio with us from Garnish Couture. Welcome, Kristen.
Thanks very much.
Fabulous. So, Kristen, just in terms of your background, in terms of designing and that kind of thing, we wanted to really delve into the topic of bridal party styling. And what we mean by that is it's very often that you get, obviously, no woman's the same size, you know, even twins or whatever the case is. And you always
although
find,
we like to think we're all the same. Or we'd love to be all the same.
Yeah, and you know, in this day and age with society and social media and all this imagery of what the perfect woman is, we always find that the brides really struggle when choosing dresses or styles for their bridal party. And we just wanted to now, you know, delve into that conversation and make sure that people are aware of perhaps maybe certain things to keep in mind when trying to style their entire bridal party, including perhaps parents, perhaps family, and even the guys. So with that in mind, where do you think somebody should start? Like, what's the starting point? I always think colors before the actual style. But am I right? Am I wrong? What do you think?
I think you're right on a lot of points. Mm. I think that color is an important factor, but it's not really a telling factor.
Okay.
So you'd find that either a bride goes into planning her wedding with a color in mind, mm-hmm. or she's totally open to a color palette.
Right. Mm.
Depending on what type of flowers she uses, the venue, where she's having it, what's the feel behind the wedding, what's the theme behind the wedding,
mm-hmm.
is it vintage, is it contemporary, is it minimalistic?
Right.
So color does play an important role, but I don't necessarily think it's a starting point.
Okay.
I think one would probably look at how many people are in their bridal party.
Ah, okay.
So if we're looking at...
We say that with a smile.
I'm currently planning a wedding where there's like 10 bridesmaids.
Really?
10.
Oh, and the drama behind that, yes. I'm sure, Ntombi.
I tell you what, last year alone, we did 4 weddings, all of them, with 17 bridesmaids.
Was it a Jewish wedding?
No, it wasn't.
No.
Wow.
14, between 14 and 17 bridesmaids. Not flower girls, moms, just bridesmaids.
Adult women.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Adult women with their own ideas and their own styles. Fortunately, they were all amazing girls.
Mm. Okay, well, that's fair.
And we're really open to just doing what the bride wanted, which is actually a really good place to start. As a bridesmaid, I would say, from that point of view, go into it saying, it's not my day.
Yes, okay. Sacrifice.
Please listen
it's
to
that. One day.
Exactly. The circle is round. It will be your day. And when it is your day, you want your bridesmaids to do what you're asking.
Yes. I'm sure you see a lot of that, though. You must think, oh my God, do you ever actually say to the bridesmaids, like,
enough?
Absolutely, I do. But that's how I am as a business owner.
Yes.
So I've been doing this for a really long time. Mm-hmm. We're going on 16 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we've pretty much had it all.
Right.
And what I always try and advise the bride to do, and this is a good place to start, okay. going back to that, is decide on, would you like soft, flowy, romantic dresses?
Okay.
Would you like edgy, trendy dresses, and make that your common theme.
Okay.
And then you say to the bridesmaids, right, this is the theme, and then put down some ground rules.
Okay.
So they all need to be floor length, or they all need to be kneeling.
Right.
And they all need to be in this fabric.
Okay. Just in terms of length, how do you, I understand, like, in terms of theme and elegance and that whole thing, and look and feel, but are there certain lengths that don't suit certain people? Or is that more of a silhouette question?
You know what? Yes and no.
So, it has a lot to do with their leg shape.
It does.
Like, you know, my sister-in-law always says, and she'll
leg shape.
The leg shape. She says she's got elephant ankles.
Oh,
she's got cankles. So she was like, don't ever give me any
I'm not
length.
Laughing.
No, and she'll listen to this and think, Carly, really? But she said, don't ever give me a knee-length dress.
Okay. You know, with making these decisions comes a level of maturity.
Right.
This is the difference between making a dress for somebody who's a bridesmaid and somebody who's a matric girl.
Yes.
Is that the matric girl doesn't necessarily know her own mind yet.
Mm.
Whereas an adult who's in the same circles as somebody who is getting married, she's generally a friend and a similar age.
Mm-hmm.
they know, you know what you like. You know what your body looks good in, and you know what your body does not look good in.
And what you feel comfortable in.
Exactly. Yeah. And the same goes with being a bride. Mm. You know what you look good in. So that's the first thing to think about, is what do I actually look good in? Now, when you're looking at a case where the bride's deciding on behalf of the girls what they should be wearing.
Right.
So let's talk old school traditional. There are four girls wearing the same color and the same style.
Okay.
Unfortunately, body shape isn't going to play too much of a factor.
Ish. Sure. Do you recommend that, though? Like, just in your professional opinion and as a stylist, do you think it's fair to have everyone in the exact same, like the identical?
Not if everybody's a totally different shape and size.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm.
I think brides do consider this before making a decision. Mm. I think they say, well, right, these are my four bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. They are totally different sizes. We cannot put them in the same dress.
Mm.
And then you've got leeway as to who's wearing what.
Right.
Some brides don't. Some brides go into it saying, I wanted to look like this picture. You know, here's a picture on Pinterest, and these
of all the lovely models.
Exactly.
Yes. People who are super tall and super slim.
And not very realistic.
Five beautiful dresses, all exactly the same, and it all looks so uniform, and all the flowers are the same, and everyone's the same. And you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of the time, that isn't the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
So as a bride, I would suggest, look at who you're choosing. Look at who's standing up there representing you.
Right.
And you should ideally want them to look the best that they can look.
Yes, to feel
those,
the best.
Those images last a lifetime. So so make those images the best that they can be.
100%. Now, in terms of color, because I'm still stuck on my color note there. How do I choose the right color for the right skin tones? What works better with what skin tones? And it's not about, you know, being racial or whatever, but we are quite literally talking about what's going to make certain people look their best. Like Carly hates yellow because she says it washes her out.
Oh yeah, I look terrible.
And it would. Someone with Carly's skin tone and hair tone, yellow would be a pretty bad color.
Yeah. Right. So what am I looking at in order to say this is a better color?
All right. So I would first of all say as far away from your skin tone as possible.
So opposites.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you've got an olive toned skin, wearing a vintage dusty pink is not going to be the most complementary color you could wear. So if you've got an olive color skin, you want to stay away from dirty colors.
Okay.
You want to stay away from the
because you just look dirty.
Beiges and the oysters and the things that have either a brown or a gray undertone. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's
actually,
you want something fresh. You want something clean. So you're going to go for one of the sorbet colors.
Okay.
Or you're going to go for one of the brights.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that at all. Okay, and if you've got darker skin tones, like your Indians, your black ladies,
black people. You'd actually, once again, like to stay away from the very dark skin, the dark
tones.
Fabric tones. Mm. Exactly.
So put you in a maroon colored dress.
I think that would look great, though.
Well, it depends what maroon it is.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking at like a masala
But now the thing is, when you're looking at, for instance, a maroon or a deep blue or a deep green, you're going to get your cold colors and you're going to get your warm tones.
Colors. Yeah.
So if you've got a warm toned skin, you want to go for a cold color dress.
Is that so?
And if you've got a cold toned skin, if you don't have a warm undertone, you want to go for a warmer tone color dress.
Okay. Okay. To balance the whole
thing. Exactly. So you almost want to offset what you've started with. You want to find something that's going to really stand out and show up.
Huh. That's quite a lot to think about.
Have you chosen what colors you're having?
Yeah. That's why I'm worried now. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Are you going to share?
No. No, I shan't. Everything will be a secret, but there's definitely a bridesmaid's WhatsApp meeting today. Okay.
But on that note, I'm going to give everyone listening an idea of how to actually deal with something like that.
Right.
So say you choose, I want my color tone to be magenta or plum or maroon, one of those colors that you just mentioned.
Yeah. Okay.
All right? But I've got five different women, all with different skin tones and different hair tones. What do I do? You don't put them all in the same shade of plum or maroon.
Okay.
So then you maybe rather choose a palette of maroon. So berry tones.
Stunning,
and you go for berry tones as opposed to everybody in the same flat maroon color.
Mm. And then how would you make sure that they would look great? Do you get samples and match to their chest, to their face? Is it near that way?
That's exactly what we do.
Okay, cool.
So we source samples in colors of the fabrics that we'd like to be using.
Okay.
So depending on what the silhouette and the style of the dress is.
Okay.
We then source colors. We show them out. First of all, we let the bride obviously have a look at them first, make sure they're colors she actually likes.
Right.
And then see what works with each different person.
Okay, cool.
And do you, when it comes to styling the bridal, the bridal retinue, would you suggest the bride have a dress first, or does it really not matter?
You know, I don't actually think it does matter. Mm-hmm. I think that the bridesmaids should never resemble the bride, mm-hmm. ever. Mm. So people have this train of thought that something has to be similar. So if the bride's right. wearing lace, the bridesmaid should be wearing lace.
Okay.
That's not the case.
No. Yeah.
It's the same with the color, with the color palette. The bride should never be following the theme of the wedding.
Right.
She should be wearing what suits her, what she looks amazing in, what's going to make her the best bride she can be.
Right.
Whereas the retinue should follow the theme of the wedding.
Okay.
If it's a vintage style wedding, they should be wearing vintage style dresses.
Mm.
If it's a country wedding, they should be wearing something that works well for that type of look.
Mm.
So I don't think it matters which comes first.
Okay.
I think brides have an idea of what they want their bridesmaids to look like before they have an idea of what they want themselves to look at.
Yeah.
So you'll almost find that they'll create that and then think about what they're going
to
wear.
100%. And then I wanted to ask, and I don't know if this is like an offensive question or what, in terms of bigger ladies, because I just think South Africa has more bigger ladies than we have petite.
Mm.
What is the best or the better silhouette in terms of dress shapes? Because I find that a lot of people, you know, they choose the wrong shape or whatever the case is, and you just find that they're falling out of. And the problem is, and I always tend to blame whoever like makes the dress or whatever, because
whoever advised buying that dress.
Yeah, because you know you find them falling out of places where they shouldn't be.
So and they're constantly in the ceremony pulling and fidgeting. It looks terrible. Yeah. And in the videos.
Yes.
So my feeling around that is, when I'm dealing with somebody who's bigger, you ask them what is their favorite part about their body.
Mm.
Where do you want the focus to lie?
Yeah.
If that's your neckline, you design a dress that puts emphasis on a neckline.
Right.
Mm. If it's your waist. So some larger women have tiny waists.
Yes.
And when you dress them in a dress that cinches in their waist and shows off the fact that they've got a good waist, it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
So it's about finding the part of that person's body that they're the most happy with and putting the focal point on that.
Okay.
And when you put the focal point on a part of your body that you are overly comfortable with and that you love about yourself, the way you carry the dress is totally different to putting someone in a dress that emphasizes something that they're uncomfortable with.
Mm, mm.
So like a lot of women want to cover their arms.
Yeah.
And they want to put emphasis on their neckline.
Right.
So you do a really understated sleeve, so you're not drawing attention to it.
Yeah.
And you put your detail around your neckline.
Mm.
Okay.
Some women have beautiful legs.
A lot of the bigger women have nice boobs.
Yeah, exactly. Like
show those bosoms.
So that's where you want to put the emphasis. And some women love their ankles or from their knees down. So then you would suggest immediately wearing a dress that shows that all.
Yeah.
So put the attention there. Put the detailing there. If there's beading on the dress, if there's lace on the dress, if there's some form of detail, put it where you want it to be seen.
Mm. Okay. Now that makes total sense. Then in terms of choosing the styling of the hair, because that also becomes a very contentious issue. I think you've laid down some really nice guidelines in terms of dress choices and colors. But now styling, which is now coming, you know, the accessories, the makeup, the lip color, perhaps. What is your advice on the hair? Does everyone have the same hair?
Absolutely not.
Because people don't have the same face, right?
Absolutely. And they don't have the same hair.
Yes.
And do you advise them when you've designed the dress, what type of hairstyle to do? And
most women ask for advice on what do you suggest the hair should be.
Yeah.
And I really think that you should take instruction from the dress.
Yes.
So if the dress has got a beautiful back, wear your hair up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If the dress has got a beautiful front, wear it to the back.
Yes.
If your dress is asymmetrical, wear your hair to the side.
Mm. So, the other side?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The other side,
so
you balance it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you look too heavy on one side. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to balance that asymmetry by putting something on a different side.
Okay.
If you've got short boy hair, change it up. So don't wear it like you do wear it every single day.
Yeah.
Style it differently.
Mm, mm. Okay. No, that makes sense.
And how, in terms of when your bridal party comes to you from beginning to end, what is a good time frame for a bridal party to look at coming to you as a designer? How long does it take? What is the process?
So we generally take bookings about 4 months to a year and a half in advance.
Okay.
It really depends on how organized the bride is.
Yes.
I would say anything past 4 months before the wedding, you're starting to run out of time.
You're cutting
it fine.
Right.
You don't want to be scrambling around at the last minute wondering, is this the right cutter choice? Is this the right fabric choice? This bridesmaid isn't quite happy with what we've told her she needs to wear, so we need to relook at that.
Right.
You want to do it with time.
Yeah.
With time, there are a lot of advantages. So taking the time to find the exact colors that you're after, the exact fabrics that you're after, giving the bride also time to be comfortable with her decision. You know, that this is actually what I want my bridesmaids wear.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned fabric. I have a huge pet peeve about cellulite strings through fabric. Because, again, I know...
And it happens so much.
It does. And the thing really... is, I know that you can avoid it. It really is about fabric choice.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think if you're seeing cellulite through a dress, A, the cut is wrong.
Yes.
First of all.
Yes.
And secondly, the fabric choice for the style that you've chosen is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We build our dresses with as many layers as
possible.
As needed. Yeah.
So there's a massive structure that goes into any dress. Mm. And that dress... that structure is actually the most important part.
100%.
What happens on the outside as far as beading and flowers and lace is very secondary.
Yeah.
It's all about the structure and the base that the dress is made out of.
100%. And talking about structure, people's boobs in terms of support. Right? No, it's an issue.
I've had people like tape their boobs in on the day because their dresses haven't been fitted properly. And I'm like, okay, sorry, I'm holding your boob, but like, let's just try and get it in, you know?
So in like a well-structured dress, should, no matter how big busted I am,
you should feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
Do you have to wear a bra?
No,
bra.
No.
It should support you.
We put E-cup boobs into dresses and they don't move. It's all about the built-in structure of the dress.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do not want to see bra straps. We do not want to see bras peeping out.
Yes.
If you cannot wear a dress without a bra,
completely.
Don't wear it.
Yeah.
If the dress is not made for your body, made to support what needs to be supported,
leave it alone. Yeah, leave it alone. And now, accessories. How do I choose the right kind of accessory, number one, and number two, the right color? Perhaps of accessory. And again, the same question, does everyone then wear, because maybe we've gone with different dresses and different hair, whatever, if I wanted to add an element of uniformity, do I then do similar or identical?
Absolutely. I would say 9 times out of 10 bridesmaids or bridal party are wearing the same thing as each other. I always say less is more.
Right.
So an earring is always an amazing place to start. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say go without the neck piece. Unless the dress is designed to complement a specific neck piece, leave the neck piece out. It just shortens your body.
Okay.
So really? From a color point of view, yeah, absolutely.
So I never wear anything.
If you think about it, if you think about the lines of your body, anything that goes vertically is cutting you. So a neck piece will always cut you.
Okay.
Unless it is long and it's hanging down to your mid tummy area.
Yeah.
And how many bridesmaids wear something that looks like
nothing.
That?
No.
Yeah.
I would stay away from it. I mean, a choker for me is a no-no.
Hey,
you know,
how
like
crazy.
A choker with
and
the bridesmaids
everywhere.
Dresses, absolutely.
I saw some images on a photographer's Facebook page the other day, and they literally had chokers and they had big things
on
their wrist.
For me.
It was very dramatic. It was
that's
very different looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was literally all you saw in the image. And then you would actually look at the person, they were beautiful bridesmaids.
You don't
I'm
notice,
not saying that
yeah.
it was, they looked terrible. It's just this, all
this
your neck pieces
drawing
your
arm
and drew your attention
absolutely.
To them.
So with a lot of more contemporary style bridesmaids dresses, which is really interesting because bridesmaids dresses are moving away from the traditional chiffon draped
soft flowy
exactly.
vibe,
empire line.
Yes.
to a lot more fun styles.
Right.
So we've done, you know, high-waisted skirts that are really trendy and smart,
right.
and then they get worn with a white t-shirt or a white blouse.
Nice.
And then accessories play a really large
role.
So you're going to put chunky beads, loads of layers of chunky beads around your neck if you're wearing a white t-shirt, because you want to dress that up.
Right.
Or you're going to wear a multitude of bracelets up your arm.
Okay.
You know, because you're dressing up a slightly more laid-back, casual style.
That's like the pizzazz, I guess.
Exactly,
of the
pizzazz
of
is the accessory.
Okay.
And the florals?
So the florals, I don't see happen all that often.
It happens, but it's supposed to be a big trend, but I haven't really seen it. Have you seen it in
it,
your...
Yeah. I haven't seen
I've
it
seen one or two. I've had maybe one client that's had their bridesmaids.
I told you why as well. It's because the availability of fabric in South Africa. So when an importer, when a fabric supplier is buying a print, there are minimum orders.
Okay.
So you have to buy 1,000 meters in that print.
Sure.
And to sell a print... To sell 1,000 meters of a print to one market, people want too many choices.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So you find that the suppliers don't actually bring in a lot of floral prints.
Interesting.
And if they do, they're more like cotton shirting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not pretty. Exactly.
Yeah, it's not the right fabric.
So we see florals, but not all that often.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the guys? So we've done with the girls and stuff. Are we still in that time where we have to do matchy-matchy? If the girls are all wearing, you know.
I prefer to say no.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
It's a designer coming out.
This is what she does for a living, people.
So for me, it's all about tone. Mm. If I have a client who comes in to me and says, we want, our color scheme is emerald green.
Right.
So we're having emerald green bridesmaids dresses, emerald green tablecloths.
All look part of the tablecloth.
Of the decor.
We want the guys to be wearing emerald green bow ties with emerald green pocket shoes.
Yeah, I'm sure you remember like 10, 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
They used to come with a sample as a decor person.
Everything.
They would come with like a sample of the grape colored
satin
material that the bridesmaids were wearing, and they want the tablecloth to be exact. That was 12 years ago.
I don't understand where that thought ever came from, that you want your dress to match the tablecloth.
Just wrap yourself in the tablecloth.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine a posse of bridesmaids sitting around the table and their dresses are the same color as the table?
I'm so glad that's gotten.
My advice would be stay away from single tone palettes.
Okay.
Always go for multi-tone. So if the theme of the wedding is emerald green.
Right.
Put the guys in a lighter shade or a darker shade. Don't put them in the same emerald green as the ladies.
Okay.
Oh, have you had emerald green? Have you had green suits?
No. I don't think I would go for like the masala suits. Those burgundy. Ooh, those are nice. But I haven't seen a green one.
Let me tell
really
you
nicely.
All those jewel colors. So your deep blues, deep masala
navies
colors,
and stuff.
Your
like
deep greens. You know that green that almost looks black.
Yeah, almost so, that
exactly,
borderline.
Very
yeah.
Nice. It's hugely in trend at the moment.
Wow.
Any green is hugely in trend at the moment.
Yeah,
I think there are so many options for guys now that going for a black suit.
So boring.
It's so boring.
Yeah,
so
you expect boring. So much more.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you are going to go with the black suit, then do it properly.
Yes.
Go with a really beautiful, interesting color shirt and an interesting color neck piece.
Yeah.
Don't go for the classic, you know, like black with white.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's so true. When you see a bridal party and they're wearing black, you're like, so disappointing.
Yeah,
so
at least, like, I feel like navy's the
navy's
new black.
Navy's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Navy's
and
really charcoal.
And even if they do like a gray or a charcoal and they do the lines.
Absolutely.
And like very
or a texture within the fabric. It doesn't even have to be a line. It could be like a little flick or something like that, which just gives a depth.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I also think that brides make the mistake of making the groom match the groom's.
Yay!
And I'm not sure where that thought process comes from. Because
they should match you.
Absolutely. Mm. The groom should match his bride.
Mm. And compliment her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got clients who come in and say, well, you know, can you make a waistcoat for the groom and a cravat and the color of the wedding is burnt orange? And can you make a waistcoat and a cravat to match for the groom? And I'm like, why do you want your groom to look like he's a groomsman?
Let him stand out a little bit.
Absolutely. There's nothing more beautiful than a groom layering whites. So a navy suit with an off-white shirt and a slightly richer color waistcoat and a slightly richer color cravat
my heart just goes
white on white on white on white,
right?
You know, I mean, that's really slick and it's really sophisticated.
Gorgeous.
And it's really chic,
right? Right.
So stay away from the colors.
Yeah, stay away from the colors. And then with regards to I wanted to get back to the styling the ladies, lip color, nail color, and shoes. Because with the guys, usually people always say, obviously, same color belt, same color shoes. So are there any standard rules that should go for the girls in terms of absolute same-same is going to make the whole look pop?
So I always feel that a darker shoe works, not a lighter shoe. So
yeah, and they always actually go for the lighter, hey?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know if it's because it's a wedding, they just think light. But I would always suggest a darker shoe.
Okay.
When you hang an image on the wall or when you place a portrait, the bottom border is always heavier than the top. So you always want the weight at the bottom, and darker colors are obviously heavier. Yeah. So you want all your darker colors to be at the bottom and all your lighter colors to be at the top.
That makes sense, huh?
Yeah. Mm.
As far as hair color, nail color, you know what? I think undertoned is always great unless that is going to be your pop.
Yeah.
So,
like if you're doing a black and white and then...
Exactly.
Okay.
So I would just say, as far as makeup is concerned, if you're doing red lips, do very laid back eyes. If you're doing strong eye color, do a nude color look. So choose what you want to pop.
Yeah. And do you advise on the nail polish and the toes? I mean, how do you actually see their toenails?
you know how many times have you walked into a room as people are getting ready and the bridesmaids are all trying to paint their toenails?
I'm not just like, great, hey, girl. You know.
No one cares. Bring them claws out.
Maybe the nails.
You'd be surprised. I think people do see your feet. I mean, if you're wearing an open pair of shoes.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
I don't think that everyone should be in the same color. I think you should really go with what suits your skin tone.
Yeah.
So same as with the dress. Shades of colors to suit your bridesmaids and shades of nail color, lip color to suit who's wearing it. You know, there's nothing worse than a pasty skin with like a bright red nail or...
Oh,
you know, something that just...
I'm scared.
You know, you want to go for something soft.
You're not pasty.
No, that's <that's> work.
Now, what about the mom's fashion? Because this is always another...
Such a bone of contention. They can't find clothes.
They can't find
they
clothes.
They have to tailor make.
And the amount of mom's dresses we make in a year is insane. Because it is really difficult to find something. There is still this idea that the groom's mom should be understated.
And the bride's
and the
mom
bride's
has to
mom
be, like,
should be
really
extravagant.
Neck and neck with the bride.
Absolutely.
Really.
And I always find that a groom's mom will say to me, I don't want to stand out. I just want to kind of fit in. Mm. And I think that is a big mistake.
No.
For sure.
Like, so what if you only have sons?
Yeah.
You're never gonna shine.
Be extravagant. Exactly. So I think if you are the mom of the bride or the groom, you need to look amazing.
The part, right.
My first bit of advice is do not wear something that will make you look like you are a guest.
Okay.
Wear something that is going to make you stand out.
Yeah. Mm. Do the moms, I know traditionally the moms always used to wear, you know, a two-piece suit, you know, with the huge shoulder pads.
That is so old school.
It depends on how old they are.
So it does depend on how old they are, but you know, even the oldies.
They're getting in there.
Wear a dress and a jacket.
Yeah.
You know, something fresh, something new.
Mm.
That there is nothing worse for me than the skirt, the cami, and the jacket.
Oh. It makes me so sad. And the skirt is like a box skirt.
Exactly.
It's not fitting in the least.
And the cami's like this plain crepe
fabric. Yes. And it's like riding.
Exactly.
Mama, let me fix you there.
It's your time to shine. Your child is getting married. You should look the second best.
Yeah.
Can I ask, you know, I know a lot of people, when they think designed and designer dresses, I think a lot of people get scared away from costs. In terms of bridesmaids' dresses, what is a good average budget that a bride would need to look at for bridesmaids' dresses? And then on the other hand, the mother of the brides, it obviously got a lot to do with the detail.
Absolutely.
And whatever else. Yeah. But what is an average?
I think an average, if you're having bridesmaids' dresses custom made, you want to have a budget that reaches beyond 2,500-3,000 rand a dress. So you want to be able to spend between 2,500 and 5,500-6,000 rand on a dress.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that you're having it custom made, it's going to fit the person perfectly.
Yeah.
Generally, we're going to design something that is not going to be limited to a bridesmaid's dress.
Mm.
Oh,
so
I can vouch for that because Kristen did my bridesmaid's dresses. My bridesmaids have worn those dresses to death. They can't wear them anymore because everybody's seen them.
You know,
and they feel so comfortable in them.
Absolutely. And you know, 3,000-5,000 rand is an investment.
Yeah,
it's not
sure.
just walking into a store and spending, 900 rand on a dress. That's A, not really made for you,
right.
And B, isn't going to have a very long shelf life. It's an investment, and if you're making that investment, make it worth it.
Yeah.
So as a bride, also consider that. If you want your bridesmaids to spend that type of money on a dress, or if you're going to be paying for those dresses, really think about what you're going to have.
Right.
Make it something that's timeless, something that's classic, something that's trendy.
And they can wear again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. What is your take on crop tops?
I love it.
Really?
Crop tops for a wedding?
Yeah. It's a huge trend. I've got
crop tops.
We've been doing
show
it for
their belly?
Almost, no.
It's like they just...
No. Like, oh, I'm lacking.
Exactly. So, yeah, just, so you'd wear a high-waisted skirt with
okay.
a crop.
Yeah.
So
you would not like belly button.
You would not
God,
see
I would be
tummy.
Like, I'm not your bridesmaid. No. Sorry.
You would not see tummy at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just kind of that look where you've got a boxy crop and you've got a high-waisted skirt.
Stunning.
And it's really trendy. And, it, and it, you know what? A two-piece is amazing because you can wear that top and you can wear that skirt
so versatile
in so many different ways.
You can dress it up, you can dress it down. So when I spoke about contemporary bridesmaids dresses earlier, that is the trend where
yeah,
people are going
currently. Yeah, currently I see that happening happening often. Sorry, one last question with regards to the moms, the hat.
Yes,
is it
do you do the design of the hat?
You know what, I must say, I find in South Africa specifically it's more a cultural thing. So you'd find that this mom is going to be wearing a hat because her mom used to wear a hat.
Yes. And in the black culture,
huge. Absolutely. Like she's not.
And I know you, if you, if
one.
You, if you're like, if you're English or Scottish, they have to have a fascinator.
Oh,
there's no two ways about
really?
It.
Really?
Yes.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah, yeah.
Non-negotiable.
So that's And the hats? Do you make the hats?
We don't. We don't make. So we do make fascinators.
Okay.
And we do make head pieces. We do not make hats. We are not a milliner.
Okay.
So for that you would need a milliner, which is somebody who actually specializes.
And do you have recommendations on
this?
We
do have recommendations.
Okay, perfect.
There are a couple. They're not many.
It amazes me when you see the hats at some of the weddings. You think, wow, they're
literally
amazing.
Works of art.
And you know, they do complete an effort.
Yeah. They do.
I always look at a mom who's wearing a hat
it's
and
so,
got the confidence to wear a hat. Because
you've got to have like a bite of sass.
Absolutely.
Hey?
You know, a lot of the time.
And she carries it off well.
Women stay away from hats because they don't have the confidence to wear
them. Yeah.
I know with myself, if I walk out of the house wearing a hat, the first thing my husband does is like,
are you having a bad hair day?
What are you wearing?
What's wrong, my love?
And I'm always envious of those women who I see walking around with a beautiful hat on.
Yeah.
You know?
They can just pull it off.
Absolutely.
Yes, this has been... There's so many small things about style that you don't realize. And it makes sense, like, when you say it. Like, things like darker colors are heavier, bring the heaviness to the bottom. Or,
yeah.
Like, small things like that really can change how a person looks as a whole. Look, it's been amazing having you in studio.
Kristen, we must get you in to just talk about wedding dresses.
Designed wedding dresses.
Absolutely.
The flaws, the do's and the don'ts.
I'd love to do that.
100%. It's been absolutely awesome having you in studio. To our listeners, I hope you've taken a lot of information. Please do not force your bridesmaids into things that won't make them look amazing. Like Kristen said, I mean, she does it for a living, so let's pay attention, people.
Trust,
keep up with
trust.
The trust. Keep it. Happy birthday to Carly today.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, my darling. You wanted to say?
I was going to say that just remember that circle. That circle. Is
yes.
round.
Yes.
You are going to be a bridesmaid.
Goes around, comes around.
Be an amazing bride to your bridesmaids.
Yes, 100%.
You're
going to
want the same.
Such good advice.
Yeah. I should frame that.
We should next week we should play Toomey's podcast. She started with 8 bridesmaids. She ended up with 2.
Oh my word.
War zone.
Yeah, war zone.
Keep up with the conversation. #WeddingCentral. CliffCentral.com.